over the years, as we've been covering a whole range of events from the Lincolnshire Show, from the Great Yorkshire Show and onwards, one of the messages that have been coming through when we've been speaking to dairy exhibitors and dairy farmers, etc., is how actually prices were not fair. There were issues relating to that whole factor of things. And indeed, most folk, when actually asked, would say that they'd be prepared to pay more to ensure that the money actually went back to farmers in terms of dairy items and so on. To address this issue and indeed hopefully some good news with respect to farmers and indeed the dairy industry across the base, we're delighted to be able to welcome both ace farmer extraordinaire John Cook. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
And we also have the fabulous coordinator behind White Wednesday. That will be Sarah Baldwin. How are you, Sarah?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. John, obviously you've been running the Burgate Farm for 40 years together with Sarah. This is it's finally we're getting some good news when it comes to actually producing milk and actually getting a fair price for the milk and product that you're actually getting.
Yes, we most certainly need a slightly better price even what we currently are getting. In Arla, we know that everybody enjoys dairy delights at Christmas time, whether it's a tasty cheese after the Christmas pudding or a nice brandy laced cream or even a glass of milk to lace the stomach before the festive occasions. And so what we thought, we've launched a campaign to calling on our consumers to get behind the nation's dairy farmers at this key time of year, the countdown to Christmas.
Now, listening to this particular piece, hopefully in the studio, we've also got Jane Southall, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. And clearly, this is something which agricultural societies across the country have been getting behind, presumably. Or has it been something of a challenge, sir? I mean, have you sort of found it that in terms of getting White Wednesday together, that maybe you have had one or two issues saying, no, we prefer to actually stay with the supermarket situation?
So the question, I think, is more around, you know, what we're trying to do to get consumers to understand more about Arla, which is Arla is a cooperative. And I think a lot of consumers, particularly the research that we've done, says that consumers are really interested in buying products from a cooperative and particularly from dairy farmers that own that cooperative.
Absolutely. I mean, if we look at some of the sort of statistics that's actually there, and clearly it's not good if you have any allergies to dairy products, but we do have sort of scenarios where milk cheese is still the most popular dairy product. Butter comes up with 72%, double cream and yoghurt, and indeed 16% of actually those surveyed actually in this Arla piece have actually confessed to leaving a glass of milk out for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, absolutely. But we need to get a few more people, I think, to leave that glass out for Santa on Christmas Eve and drive a bit more consumption on milk, which is a fabulous nutritional product for Santa as he makes his way around the UK dropping off his presents.
John, we've also seen a shift over the years in terms of obviously different kinds of dairy product. I mean, I'm not sure whether you would incorporate goats in terms of that as well, or is that something which, again, you know, we're seeing a shift in terms of people's tastes? I mean, obviously there's the skimmed, the semi-skimmed, and as I say, different species providing milk. I've even heard sheep mentioned in certain instances.
Well, we at Arla, we specialise in milk from dairy cows, but we've increasingly have a large portfolio of products for consumers because consumers are demanding ever more products. They want them to be safe, healthy, nutritious. And it's our target as a farmer-owned cooperative to ensure that the consumers get what they require.
Looking towards this then, in terms of obviously Burgate Farm near Scarborough and working through that, what's the kind of thing that you would actually want to take as the clear message from this? I mean, we talk about White Wednesday, which we should celebrate it? Should we actually sort of ensure that this is a standard thing? It certainly sounds a lot more positive than Black Friday, shall we say.
Well, we no longer seem to get White Christmases anymore, possibly due to climate change, so we at Arla thought we'd celebrate with White Wednesdays, White Milky Wednesdays. It's a nice four-week programme running up to Christmas, highlighting how important the dairy industry is to farmers, and particularly our role in Arla, because we are a farmer-owned cooperative. The farmers, we own it, all the profits go back to us, but we have an interest in the whole supply chain, ensuring that we get the product to the consumer.
Sarah, from your own perspective, I suppose the message is not too dissimilar to that relating to puppies and so on, that a dairy is for life, not just for Christmas, or indeed a lifetime. I mean, from your idea of things, are you seeing an improvement in terms of the message that's getting out there?
I think we're seeing a lot of consumers buy into different areas of dairy, which is really exciting throughout their different life stages. So particularly things like yogurts, We're seeing that focus a lot more in people's diets. Milk still remains the core traditional product of dairy, but we're definitely seeing consumers buying into different areas, which is fantastic because you can keep eating dairy for your whole life. It's brilliant.
And John, any particular aspect of dairy farming that you would say, yes, that's my favourite? Is it a case of the very early mornings that you actually arise to milk the cattle, or is it a case of, no, I prefer the cheese at the end of the production process?
Well, actually, I'm afraid I like both. I love getting up at 3:30, which is when I normally get up, because it's a beautiful time of day. Okay, it's maybe not so nice and warm on a cold day, but in the middle of summer, it's fantastic. And if you're used to working with animals all your life, like I have been, it's always a pleasure to do it, even on Christmas Day. I shall be looking forward to be finished by 10 o'clock to be in for my Christmas lunch.
Oh, very good. And Sarah, likewise, a similar question for your good self, or is it a case of, no, I'm too busy organising the public relations of the rest of the stuff to actually deal with the actual milking and the farming itself?
Oh, no, I absolutely love it. I actually grew up on a dairy farm, so my heart lies in dairy farming, and I'm a bit like John. I would happily be out there in the milking the cows, but funny enough, I still love marketing the products as well, which is a great honour to do it for a cooperative.
Good to hear, Sarah. Finally, how can people actually find out further details? Is it a case of go to the Arla website and find out all the sort of information
from the Sky News Centre?
Or is it just a case of support Arla Foods whenever you see them around?
I think all of those, actually. So you can go to www.arla.com. You can also hashtag White Wednesdays, and we'll have lots of farmers and colleagues actually around in some of our towns over the next couple of weeks. And then ultimately, yeah, just keep buying Arla products and supporting the fantastic dairy industry we have in the UK and Europe.
Sarah Baldwin and John Cook, many thanks for actually joining us today, raising some key issues, I think, which certainly resonate with our rural aficionados across the base. And indeed, it's not just for rural aficionados, it's people actually living in towns as well, because there are people, Sarah, amazingly enough, I've met a couple of them from the student perspective, who believe that actually milk comes from supermarkets, not from cows at all.
That's why we need White Wednesdays.
Oh, very sage words indeed, Sarah Baldwin and John Cook there, White Wednesdays. We might rerun that again tomorrow when, of course, we may well have a Lincolnshire agricultural special, but I thought it was a nice way to celebrate White Wednesday, even though there's no sign of snow. It's, of course, referring to milk. As we head over to a place where also there's very little sign of any snow, I suspect, with, of course, our wonderful colleagues Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten. Any sign of snow, Annette or Arthur?
No, not a bit, except... In local mountains, there are dustings because overnight the temperatures have fallen below freezing.
Yeah, that's in the mountains. We're not in the mountains. On the other hand, it's somewhat chillier here than I think is normal. But then we've got this El Nino system that is coming and going and representing us. But cold here means that you put a cardigan on underneath a light jacket. And walk out.
So just like Lincoln, really. If I had $1 or indeed 50 cents for every time somebody actually sort of said, oh, it's unseasonably warm. Well, look, it's okay, it's about 10 degrees higher than average, but just enjoy it, you know. What would you rather have? Earthquakes? You'd rather have snow, Claire?
I love snow.
Right, okay. Well, there we are. We could always have some virtual snow around.
Yes.
Raise some of it. Quick introductions to the fantastic Annette Andre Weingarten and Arthur Weingarten. We can add in the studio here Sue Royce, Jessica Ward.
Hello.
Eva McDonald.
Hello.
Tess.
Hello, Eva.
Hello.
Tessa Snart.
Hi.
And Claire Margerison.
Hello.
There we are, see. So it's Hello. A quintet, Hello, a quintet of quality. And rather than actually have one of Annette's fabulous, well-worked, crafted, it has to be said, wonderful sort of pieces, the decision was that we'd actually feature both Arthur and Annette, but we would actually sort of open the format to you guys, yes, the studio co-presenters, to actually bowl some questions to either our ace writer, Arthur Weingarten, about life, the universe, writing the episode of Wonder Woman, which is Galt's brain, and more, and other sort of aspects about the issues relating to high points, low points, career points, regrets, proudest accomplishments, all of that kind of things. And we got 1, 2, 3 journalists, 1 English undergraduate, and an operatic singer. What's not to love with that sort of lineup? I mean, for goodness sakes. So, Jessica, do you want to go first with this one?
Yes. Can you tell us more about this Wonder Woman project that you're working on?
Well, worked on back in
worked
before
on.
You were born. Ooh, actually,
sorry.
Jess, but never mind. Arthur, I think that's one for you. Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, Galt's brain, literally a brain disembodied in a vat. And what a wonderful thing, because you sent me the script and I still treasure it, as you know.
Yes, yeah. I really enjoyed doing that series because one of the wonderful things is that we had the comic strip, of course, to work from, but Linda really took it quite seriously because it was one of the first series that she had gotten a starring role in. So it meant quite a bit to her. And even though, you know, these were entertainments, as Graham Greene would call most of his novels, and of course they weren't. They were very serious. But nevertheless, we viewed them rather lightheartedly. Linda took it quite seriously and would engage us in hour-long conversations. Why didn't we write such and such a line? And I must confess, most of us never remembered writing those lines. That's beside the point. She went on. I don't know if you know this or not. You probably do. You, Alex, know everything.
Oh, Arthur.
She went on to a very, and still does, a very successful cabaret career as a singer.
Absolutely. And did she not actually marry a U.S. senator at one stage? Or there was a connection with that.
Among the string, yes.
Oh, yes.
There were quite a few.
I mean, clearly, you know, we would have had Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, as the first lady had things taken another sort of route forward. But it's definite thought. Anyway, moving on. Does that answer your question, Jess?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Sounds good. There's a film coming out, isn't there?
There is. Gal Gadot will be making her debut as the new Wonder Woman in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, directed by Zack Snyder.
Mm. You do awesome. Know everything, Alex.
You know a whole lot more than I do.
Oh, Annette, that's not true at all. You know, as we say, we all connect together in a kind of wonderful cosmology of fun and existence. Sue, questions for yourself.
This is actually for the both of you. What have been your favourite projects over the years, or what has been your favourite?
Well, because I had them in all mediums, including theatre. I love doing Randall and Hopkirk because I did get along with the boys so well, and we were a happy set. That's a big advantage. And I loved working with Roger because that was always a laugh. But I think when I was on stage is when I really was in heaven, sort of, when I wasn't nervous. And I think one of the most interesting ones that I did, and I would have liked to have done it better, was when I did a production of... What's the name of the Tennessee Williams one I did?
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Isn't that terrible? Blanche.
Encyclopedia.
Blanche and... Streetcar
Named Desire. Okay, fair enough.
I couldn't remember. I went blank. Yes, and I really loved that, but it really needed a lot more work, and I would have been happier if we'd had more time and I could have done a thing. That, I think, was one of my favourite things. And I guess when I was a little girl, my very first appearance on stage was lives very strongly in my mind when I performed in a little dance at a very prestigious charity event, and I was "Oh, you beautiful doll," and they sang.
And you haven't changed, exactly.
And I danced "Oh, you beautiful doll."
I have to interject something here, which is rather of a very personal nature, but nevertheless, I think it's quite telling. We have a bathroom here which is dedicated to Annette.
In that,
over the years, every time she'd be looking for pictures for something, I would go through the books with her, and I was always amazed at this beautiful collection of photographs, production stills, and personal things. So I decided, usually when a bathroom is nondescript, you have a picture that you may not want to hang anywhere else, and up it goes on the wall. So what I decided to do was to make an homage to Annette in our bathroom.
I can see what's happening. I mean, you know, Dylan, does he actually have an homage to Sue, your good self, in your bathroom?
No. No, this may surprise you. No.
Who haven't come out for 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
No, we do have a library full of my books, but yeah, no.
But nothing in the bathroom.
Not in the bathroom.
Well, there you are, you see. But here, when she said the living doll, just recently added to the collection of hundreds of pictures which line the walls, was some that she found of this actual production, in which the six-year-old girl wearing a large white lace bonnet and a short dress showing the shapely legs.
It was pink.
Yeah, pink.
Yes.
Right, pink. It was pink.
Yes.
And there she is singing, "Oh, You Beautiful Doll." So that's the latest number to go up on the wall.
See, when we have a time machine, we will go back and actually have a major sort of trip to see Annette Andre, you know, singing, "Oh, You Beautiful Doll."
I think so.
It's very embarrassing when we have guests.
If you'd like to, and they walk in, and there they are.
Oh.
If you'd like to break into a song now, feel free to do it, Annette. I mean, it is Christmas after all.
I don't think so.
Claire.
I guess I will fire the Christmas question that you guys...
The Christmas question?
The Christmas question, and just say, like, what have you got any plans? Have you got a favourite food or drink that you have at this time of the year, or a tradition that you do?
We do. Well, we're vegetarians, so we don't have a turkey. We have a fake turkey.
Nice.
And Arthur makes a wonderful cornbread stuffing, which we both love. So he makes lots of stuffing that goes on for weeks. And, you know, all the cranberry sauce and all that sort of thing. And my daughter sends us Christmas puddings. And that's we're not planning to do anything. We're planning to sit around and be lazy.
That sounds lovely.
Do nothing.
Is this your second Christmas over in... It is the second. Or is it the third that you've actually been over in California?
Yes. It's the second.
Second. Right. So you're becoming seasoned Californians, basically.
Yeah.
Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Tessa.
What is
and
your...
As we speak, I just want to say this of a little local colour. As we speak, there were two hummingbirds at the feeder, and both of them decided, while Annette wasn't watching at that moment, to come to the window. We have big sliding glass windows, and they were looking in at us.
Oh, they were. They were doing their thing.
I tell you,
buzzing.
Buzz, and they stare right at you, these little things.
It's like, I mean, they could be aliens, Arthur, or they could be looking for the next parole in a Disney movie. It could be one of those two things. You never know with those hummingbirds. Tessa.
It's like someone said Vincent Price, who was in, you know, 600 movies, every other hour he seemed to make a movie. Someone said when at a dinner party, when a fly flew into the room, they said, "No, don't worry, it's just Vincent Price looking for a part."
There you have it. And knowing Vincent, that's the sort of thing he'd like to be reincarnated as, in a strange and peculiar way. Tessa!
I'll stick to the Christmas theme. What is your all-time favourite Christmas song? And does it have a meaning to you?
That's one for both of you.
I don't have one. I don't like Christmas songs. I think they're all...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind. The only thing, of course, is that I love Mel Torme, and so his chestnuts roasting on an open fire. It's the least spitty uppy of all of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that one too.
But isn't there something sort of wonderful about a situation where you can actually record your Christmas songs in the heat of a Californian summer, just in time for Christmas? I mean, surely that's part of the business of show, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is funny. I mean, here we are in racing toward Christmas, and the sun is blazing here, coming through the window, quite warm. And
yes, it is. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mind you, that's global warming, of course, which, according to Donald Trump, doesn't exist. So what the hey? Anyway, the words Donald Trump for president still carrying with it. Certainly.
Don't get into politics, please, no.
They had another debate last night.
Oh, yes.
These people, it is just extraordinary in this country how 2 years before an election they start electioneering. I mean, it's now we have a year and something to go before the actual election.
I mean, it just goes on and on in never-ending circles. It's dreadful.
Yeah.
Well, never mind.
But there is news. I don't know if this made the papers in England yet, but in the New York Times this morning, there's very exciting news that there may be another particle found in the Hadron Collider outside of Geneva. And they may have found, and we don't know yet, another dimension to space and time beyond the one that we know.
Arthur, as you well know, the very fact that we're part of the Midweek Drive proves beyond doubt that there is another dimension. We exist in it at least 48 weeks of the year when we actually broadcast in this little bubble of wonderment. You know? It's that.
What this means for those of us on a more practical plane is that we could rebroadcast this ad infinitum throughout the universe.
Exactly. Cue Rod Serling.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Or simply the Weingarten bathroom.
There you are. Do I know of no one who has more things at his fingertips?
I know, they just bubble out. It's amazing.
Just
go that was with, wonderful, Alex.
Go with the force, Annette. That's what I say. Go with the force. Question for
go with the force. Yeah. They've just had that. I was just reading about it this morning. That premiere for Star Wars. There was one woman. I think she came from Australia because they line up to get into the premiere by the first seat. She wanted to have to buy the first seat. She sat on the pavement outside the cinema for 2 weeks.
Yep. 14
lived.
Two weeks.
I mean, that's going just.
Has she got a certificate of sanity? You know, I mean, there's a sort of time you think, look, enough, please. I mean, we know Star Wars can be fun, but it is only a movie, you know? And I know people take it seriously, and there is a religion called Jedi, and we know that this is all that exactly, but please, just sometimes, just hold fire. Just bear in mind, it's only a movie. Penny Evans has been tuning in, and we will actually be playing Penny Evans' latest Christmas tune. In fact, well, it's not a Christmas tune. This is actually... I could actually sort of throw this open to the entire team for consideration. I mean, Arthur and Annette, would you like to have a little example of Penny Evans' work?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it can be seen as an acquired taste in every sense of the word, but actually it's got a Scandinavian feel to it. So if you think Scandinavian crime dramas and various other factors, you might get a sort of indication as to what D'Amelia Denton and Ulrich Kilström were getting together when they got asked Penny Evans to lend her delightful vocals to The Suitcase.
Straight out the door, the past you must ignore. It's
obviously crossfades slightly. So much to pack into the programme. The suitcase there. Let's get our initial thoughts. Claire, what did you make of the suitcase? I know you've looked at the photograph, so that's more of a trunk than a suitcase.
Yeah, no, I quite liked that.
Oh, it sounded as though she was on an ice floe floating away with no land in sight.
Yeah.
And what you're right. There was this kind of floating feeling, but yeah. What a wonderful extension, and I mean this as an accolade, not of a Laurie Anderson tune.
I'd agree. Yeah, there is a Laurie Anderson feel to that. It's kind of falling and various other. Yes, yeah. Should appreciate that. Of course, based in Buxton, Derbyshire, no less. Penny Evans doing all sorts of magical things there, and that's just a little sample of her latest little opus, The Suitcase. Sue, what did you make of the suitcase?
It's such a wonderful title.
I love the piano bits in it. That was really nice. Personally, for me, the vocals were just rather too high. They were a little high-pitched for me, but the piano was beautiful.
Piano was beautiful. Okay, Jessica?
Well, I think 10 points for creativity. It's a really nice name as well, isn't it? Suitcase.
So, exactly.
Don't know if I'd personally listen to it over and over again, but it is quite nice.
Eva?
Yes, it's creative, and I think that's what you could say.
I think that's fair enough. Okay, Tessa?
I agree. The piano is
good, excellent. And Claire, once again.
It's different, but I like it.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, and I like the Laurie Anderson line. That's very good. Okay, moving on. One quick question for your good self, Arthur. Of all the wonderful things that you have actually written, was there a series which you thought I'd quite like to have actually worked on that one? Was there anything that we sort of thought, you know, actually, I always secretly fancy doing some Star Trek or some other sort of genre TV?
Yeah, when I was watching two series, when I was watching The Sopranos, I thought I would like to have worked on that because of its multidimensional nature. Obviously, the surface line was that which got your attention, the mafia, but of course it was so much deeper than that, and beautifully done, very, very well done. And the second thing that I would have liked to have worked on or written myself was the adaptation of Smiley's People. I thought that was a wonderful work and beautifully done. I doubt that I would have come anywhere near what it came out, but ego makes me want to try it.
That's excellent. And Annette, from your own point of view, I mean, it's interesting in terms of, I saw last night another clip from the classic Power Switch episode of The Persuaders, which of course features your good self in full dancing form with, of course, Lionel Blair, which if Lionel Blair doesn't...
Lionel, I mean, yes.
Surely he must merit a place in the Weingarten bathroom, you know, if nothing else, really.
I don't have any pictures with him.
Well.
We have a picture of Annette dancing the tango with an actor in a play she did in Bristol.
Okay.
A nice picture.
But anything from your own point of view, Annette, where you think, actually, I would have always liked to have been a Bond girl or something, or a Bond woman, or from that sort of perspective?
No, I never wanted to be a Bond girl or a Bond woman.
Right. I was thinking Roger Moore. That's the reason
I needed to think about, because there have been several things over the years that I thought, oh, if this were my time now, that I would have loved to have dealt with. There was a wonderful series, mind you, it's an American series, so they wouldn't have thought of me anyway. Well, maybe. Called Ally McBeal, which dates back to about
1990s. Callista Flockhart.
That's right.
Ended up going with Harrison Ford. Very impressive.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And now she's in Supergirl.
And now she's in Supergirl. Oh. But I loved the characters in that. I loved the whole thing. I think it's so well done. We watch it sometimes, from time to time, old episodes. You know, they run them here. And it was so well done, and it was so off the wall, and the characters were interesting. And I would have loved to have done something like that. There are many other things too, but I mean, that comes to mind.
Now that the Hadron Collider has actually discovered that other dimension, clearly the passageway to actually doing multiple aspects can actually emerge. So it's just, you know, we put the thought out there. It'll happen. Oh, I don't know. I feel as though we're actually we're stepping into postmodernism here after a fashion. Arthur and Annette, it's been absolutely sensational touching base with your good self. Obviously, on a monthly basis, it's been a sheer joy throughout 2015. Will you be back throughout 2016 as well?
Yes. Oh, we would love it.
Absolutely.
And when are you...
Do it, Alex.
When are you next coming over to good old Blighty, folk? Are you scheduled for another trip here?
Yeah, I'm coming in March through May.
So, possibility of seeing you up in the Siren Studios again, Annette?
I hope so.
Nice. She is coming back from California. We knew she'd return somewhere. Excellent stuff there. And I take it you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today.
Absolutely.
Yes, we did. That was a little different, so it was fun.
Yes.
We always like to give the freshness going. Yeah, exactly. Round of applause for Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten.
And have a wonderful holidays. Yes.
Thank you.
Yay. Thank you too. And watch out for the hummingbirds.
When I was a boy, I had a dream. All about the things I'd like to be. Soon as I was in my bed, music played inside my head. When I was a boy, I had a dream.
Jeff Lynn, or to be precise, Jeff Lynn's ELO with When I Was a Boy. It was only yesterday, Graham, wasn't it, when you were a boy in the joys of Master Bardell and the Pickwick Papers, and look, here we are, a different century, 21st century has arrived, and you're an award-winning director. Just goes to show.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's what life is all about. Penny Evans has said, ooh, I like that, on an ice floe floating away. Thank you. We'll share the podcast with the composers. We tried a different approach here. Thanks for your responses, guys. Aww. Smiley icon.
Aww, bless her.
That was good. You know, where we go. But it's always interesting when you launch a new Penny Evans tune on the whole basis, because sometimes you get a sort of response and we just don't know, to be honest. You just don't know. And that's part of life's joys. What's life like in Acton at this moment in time, Graham Harper?
It's a very, very mild evening. It could be a sort of September evening.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it may well be, having just discovered that additional particle, which gives us another dimension. We might have time travel back into another experience entirely. We have already said farewell to Eva McDonald because she's just realised she had a meeting and she couldn't go back in time to access it, so she can't have a meeting now. So well done, Eva. That's great. Which leaves, Graham, four fabulous individuals who, in three cases, have actually been here since the very start of the show, and in the fourth case, managed to actually join to receive her official, authentic Christmas thank yous for the midweek drive.
Yay! Hey, that's very good.
Jessica Ward, of course, this year, very important year for your good self, because you became British and New Zealand and British.
I did, yeah. Great mixture there.
A naturalised person and citizen of the Isle of Man.
Yep, I've got three nationalities now. Quite, wow. Very greedy.
Quite literally on the case from Jessica Ward.
Why?
Good question, Graham.
Why?
I wanted to jump to
where.
Why?
Well, it's a very, very long story, but to cut it short, basically, I thought I needed to be British to...
Most people do.
Well, to get into university, so I panicked and went and applied, and then later on found out that I was quite eligible.
You were okay, even though you were from New Zealand.
Yeah, because I've been living in the Isle of Man for over 5 years, so who would have thought?
Exactly.
So... I don't regret it, but I didn't actually need it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay.
Yeah.
And whereabouts in the Isle of Man?
Pardon, what was that?
Whereabouts do you live in the Isle of Man, if I can remember it all?
I live in Douglas, which is the main city.
Yeah. I've been there twice. I loved it. I thought it was I loved the island. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
What brought you over?
I've been over twice. For the same project, which was a project which never got off the ground, called Man's Man, which which I thought was an interesting title.
I like that. Yeah. Isle of Man.
That's it.
Man's Man.
Very creative.
So, what? And so I went around the whole of the coastline looking for particular locations. And the lighthouse in the north is absolutely extraordinary. This white, strange lighthouse.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's quite desolate up there.
Yes, and you can see Scotland, can't you, from there?
Yeah, you can. You can. And Cumbria, I think, as well.
Yes.
Isn't Cumbria underwater these days? Sorry.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of that.
To be fair, the Isle of Man's underwater as well.
Is it really also affected by the floods?
Yeah, very, very much so. There's a double-decker bus currently upside down in the river.
What?
It's pretty bad.
Is that not just a statement of art?
It was art. Nothing in the Isle of Man isn't art. But
well, Graham, don't worry, because as long as Bridget is on the case, then all's well with the Ward household. That's what we've worked through. So
that's
great
stuff.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, good.
Well, we do, exactly. Tessa, always done your research. Have you spoken to Graham before? I'm not sure whether you have or you haven't, actually.
I don't think I have. I'm not sure whether he was on the schedule before and then we couldn't. The
was there a misconnection?
Because the name rings a bell.
Oh, it could have been that. We have that a lot.
Occasionally occurs. You know,
I think I have, though.
His people speak to our people. It's all quite nightmarish, really. But still, I know you've always done your research, so what questions would you like to put to the Harbourmeister?
I could either go Christmassy or I could go the other way. So I don't
do both. We've got time. You know, Phil Leonis isn't in the country. Well, he's actually in New York, so hey, whatever.
Okay,
we can go crazy.
Okay, then. So how will you be spending your Christmas holidays this year?
I'm going to stay in London with my wife. Our family, some are coming from, after Christmas, coming from Finland, because I have a son who is married to a Finnish girl and they live with their family in Finland. They're coming after Christmas, the 27th, but before that we will have my family, two other children and us, will have a nice get-together on Christmas Day. But the rest of it will be quite quiet, I think. Lots of television.
good Christmas films.
Or indeed Doctor Who, if you can sort of cope with the return. Exactly.
No, how does that mean?
I'm saying if you can cope with the return once again of A River Song. Exactly. Surely, you know, just one step too far. Still,
is it one step too far, do you think?
Spoilers, sweetie, I don't know, Star Wars. Will you be going to see Star Wars, Graham?
I will be, absolutely. I think this will be something really special, this one.
Mm-hmm. There we are, you see, finger on the pulse. Important thing to actually choose now, Graham, and you will not have heard of any of these titles, so it's probably totally random to actually decide what we're going to have a musical break, and it's up to you. So feel the force, Graham. Feel those force midichondria working through this. Okay, we can offer you Never Forget, Up All Night, Patience, or The Flood. You're going to go up all night, are you?
Yeah, I think we should leave.
I'm so excited.
Any reasons as to why you've gone for Up All Night?
I think that's been most of my life.
Sometimes I see your face looking at me, all your love and grace smiling at me.
Graham, the power that you actually had in making that particular choice, which made Sue Royce a very happy bunny indeed, to the extent...
Why?
To the extent... Well, why? Why, Dylan, why was Sue Royce happy? Why was your wife happy when I give them a selection of four Take That songs, one of which Graham Harper actually goes for? What is the thing?
Remember the Bay City Rollers in the 70s when all girls
Shang-a-lang.
Were squealing
and they sang
all,
Shang-a-lang
in
and
that
they
kind
ran
of
with the band and they
nonsense.
Do wop-de-doo-be. Sorry, I was there. For a moment, well, just for a moment.
Well, that's my wife with this Robin Williams.
No,
quote.
No, Gary Barlow.
Robin Williams ceased to be. He passed away.
Did he?
Yeah, exactly. He's a comedian.
Robin Williams, yes, did, exactly. Yes. Right. Robbie Williams is still very much alive.
All right. Yeah. Oh, dear. Never mind.
Critical points of view, but still.
But I do have a Gary Barlow story of my own.
Would you like to hear this, Graham? Would you like to hear Dylan's Gary Barlow story?
One of my best third-year students is Gary Barlow's butcher's assistant.
Get out of here!
This is absolutely... And she,
really?
And she reliably informs me, this is something hopefully you'll never do, she has handled his sausage.
So, Graham, allowing for the fact that over the years you and I have done shows with Tony Blair when he was Prime Minister, William Hague and so on, I don't think we've ever actually had the regular sort of connection of somebody actually handling Gary Barlow's sausage through the butcher's assistant.
It's a revelation,
I know,
to me.
It's just, and Claire has gone almost sort of...
I'm just flabbergasted.
Jessica Ward's flabber has already been gassed, and she couldn't cope much more with that.
Couldn't.
It's the routines. And Tessa is just wondering what she signed up for as a little driver. Thank God Eva's left, otherwise there's the youngest child.
No, we've had to close her ears.
Too much whatsoever. So, Dylan, how has 2015 been for yourself?
Are we in 2015? Oh, yes, we are, aren't we? Yes. It's been very busy, but it's not finished yet, is it? It's all right for, you know, it's all right for sort of radio presenters who drift off over Christmas. I've got...
Drift off over Christmas?
I have a hard Christmas of marking to do yet.
And small holdings. Mm. We're not talking sausages here, Graham, in case you're wondering.
I've let that go a bit. Yeah, but it's been a hard year. Oh, without a doubt. But, you know.
But a productive one.
Oh yeah, I've got a lot done.
Your wife's become an MA.
She has.
Community radio person.
Yes!
Which is the same as you did yourself a few years ago. So you celebrate and rejoice.
Got to do a PhD now, just to keep ahead.
So, Dylan, what are you marking up? What is the marking up of?
What is the marking of?
Hold on a minute. It's, I tell you,
wear headphones.
I have the headphone to my ear in that kind of. Come in, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm marking live radio programmes.
Ah.
Yeah, so. At the moment, I'm marking essays about live radio programmes. So all my first-year students did a live radio show, which I observed and then made little notes at the back in that kind of intimidating way. And now they have to do a critical analysis of how it went. So I'm writing.
And overall, what did you feel before you now watched them all again?
They were absolutely excellent. And now, I'm going to say that. It's almost like you do a cooking show. Nobody ever says, oh, and what do you think of this? And they say, oh, it's absolutely disgusting. It's almost, oh, it's marvellous, wonderful.
Oh, I don't know. William Sitwell once said somebody's dessert actually looked like a car crash on a plate.
Yes, yeah. And I wasn't impressed with Hooch when it first came out. And I was having to taste it on air, I remember. No, but the radio shows, there were probably the best that first years have ever produced. And I'll tell you why I think that was. In previous years, they've been pre-recorded. So really the only person that's been hearing them is me, as the assessor. For the first time ever, we've said, oh, no, actually, you're going to go live on air, which was a great risk. But it sort of emphasised that. I think they put in a lot more effort, mainly because Mum and Dad were listening at home and, you know, a few other people. So they have to defend their editorial decisions, not to the not to Ofcom, but they have to defend them to Granny on Christmas Day.
Even more significant. By the way, talking about parents, are your parents still listening to us?
I believe they will be, if they're at home.
You should do a little name check then, just to make sure they're happy. It's very important. I just had a line from Penny Evans saying, what are you guys on and can I have some?
Sweet.
Oxygen,
currently.
Oxygen of life. Name check for your
Christmas
parents,
joy.
Please, Tessa.
Annie and David, if you're listening. Hello.
Sounds as though it's a John Denver tune waiting to be written.
I thought it was Jesus and Mary. No, Joseph and Mary, wasn't it? Jesus and Mary.
That's getting into the spirit of Christmas, Dylan. I'm impressed that you did so. And name checks for yourself, Claire.
Yeah, Sally and Rob, my mum and dad, will probably be listening. My sister, Hannah, and my gran.
Now, is this English gran or German gran?
Well,
because, as you recall, in the first part of the programme, we did say there was going to be a special celebration with respect to the German side of the
Yes, my German gran and my granddad will probably be listening live. And then my grandma, I'm sending her the podcast link to be inspired as well. So it's good getting all the Margerisons and the various other members of the family listening.
Do you get nervous?
No, I did my first time, yeah. Like, when I first came, I remember sitting here and I was just like, I'm going to say the most stupid things, but now I just like chatting. I'm a very chatty person. It's
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
And as we've said, she's also, like Sue, been in the very studio that we've done 25 hours of broadcasting from. No, 33 and a third hours broadcasting.
Wow, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Non-stop it was, by the way, not over a particular period of time. Okay, we can't wait any longer. It's time for that moment which we like to release on the Christmas show every year, and it keeps our friends happy in Germany. Fröhliche Weihnachten. Because after all, they sent over the tree. Thanks to Prince Albert, etc. Graham, are you ready for this? Because, if you thought that the actions that Sue had the team doing for the Take That song was... we should have switched the webcam on, but we thought, no, just imagine it in your mind. It is the Obernkirchen Children's Choir and the Happy Wanderer. Enjoyed that in action, Graham.
I did.
It is, I mean, in so many ways, you know, only once a year is, well, it's barely enough to actually allow one to really savour the true joys of the Obernkirchen School Choir. But, you know, that's how it has to be, and we now actually have to put them behind the door for another year.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes, please do.
Just a very quick one. When I first met my wife, it was just with a group of friends.
Was Bernadette wearing lederhosen?
She was not. But we went to Paris for four of us went to Paris for an educational weekend where we could brush up our French, what little I didn't have, and also to experience a bit of Paris life. And Bernadette took a group of friends, basically, the four of us. So I didn't know Bernadette very well at that stage, but she was nice, and, well, I was very pleased to be in her company. It was fun. So we go to Paris for a weekend, staying in her sister's flat, and the Saturday evening was planned that we'd go to a very famous theatre whose name's gone right on my brain at the moment.
Folies Bergère?
No, it's Bonbon or Bam Bam or Bim.
Bonbon, Bam Bam, Bim Bim.
Bim Bim, whatever. But anyway, it's a very famous music hall theatre, and she wanted to take us to feel a really good bit of typical French music. So there was an Edith Piaf type singer to start the first half. So we had 2 hours of street songs, which was good, with an accordionist, and it was all fun. And we all kind of, and it was different songs, so that was fun. And then there were 2 hours of Georges Brassens. And Georges Brassens comes from Sète, which is down by Montpellier area. He's dead now, but he's a folk singer. And he is a very, very famous big folk singer. So you don't say anything rude about this man. He's very, very famous. And he sang very rude, naughty, rude, double entendre type songs to the music you just played. So you'd have, what happened was you had 2 hours of blinky blonky, blinky blonky, blinky blonky, blinky blonky, with all that. But the thing was, the
and some Frenchman telling rude stories over it.
Sorry?
And some Frenchman telling rude stories over it. Is it any wonder they spent part of the 20th century occupied?
As you.
Yeah. Anyway, a number between 2 and 27, please, Graham.
3.
3. OK, this could be significant. The last official Universal thought for 2015.
The thing that most forget while dreamily looking off into the horizon for the ship of their dreams is that such ships never sail in, but are actually built beneath their very feet. Oh, we owe the universe.
Although it has to be said, I think Mike Cthulhu was actually trying to go for the Russian Volga boat song, which is more appropriately the oh, ye, oh. But oh, those Russians. No Boney M today, but we might squeeze him in tomorrow. Graham, would you like to throw a general question to either Dylan Royce, Sue Royce, yes, they are man and wife, and or Tessa Snart from Peterborough, travelled up specially for the show today?
Sorry, Tessa, I'm going to pass it across to the lady.
I haven't even finished yet. There's still Jessica Ward. There's still Jessica Ward and Claire Margerison. There's your choice,
Claire,
of five.
You have to go through all the names again now because I've forgotten.
We got Claire, we got Tessa, we got Sue, we got Jessica, and we got Dylan, not a lady.
Dylan and Sue, isn't it?
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah. My wife speaks for me.
Don't. Well, I want to know what she is doing when you're initial, when you're listening to these radio programmes.
What am I doing? Generally, I'm listening to the air turning blue as he's marking them.
But I do
generally.
I do mark them in the studio. So she would.
Yes, I don't hear all of the marking.
Oh,
no,
right,
I just hear it when he's typing. He's writing them up. Amongst other things that I know, my sort of housewifely duties.
And they have a small holding as well, Graham.
Yeah.
So there we are. It's always very important.
Yeah.
Well, that more or less wraps up the whole sort of sequence, unless you want to speak to Tessa or Claire or indeed Jessica.
Oh, you can't say that because I haven't had enough conversation with them. They can ask me.
Such a bully, Ellie. Yeah, you've got to leave them alone.
She's always been like that.
Graham, how long have we actually known each other?
Since 30 years, maybe, 35.
Yeah, so before at least three of these people were actually born, emerged on the planet. So, you know, we've seen through a whole range of wonderful things, including, obviously, the annual Oberhausen Church Choir. Would you like to wish your grandparent a very happy Christmas and New Year in German, Claire?
Yeah, you can try. Fröhliche Weihnachten to my granny and granddad.
Oh, wonderful. No. It just gets better and better. In
it does.
Yeah, exactly. And Graham, obviously you're having a fairly quiet period over the time. Are there any particular festive programmes that you're likely to be looking forward to? And, you know, you could say no, it's absolute rubbish.
I haven't really investigated what's actually on over Christmas, but I'm hoping that there'll be some Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies, because that's what I'm really in the mood for. Oh dear, that's made some silence.
No, and what's not to appreciate about a Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movie? Quite literally, in every sense of the word.
Well, I think Strictly Come Dancing is absolutely phenomenal, and I think we're seeing some fantastic stars, and that is what they're kind of basing it all on.
Yes. Yeah, it's stunning. Yeah.
Tomorrow morning on the Midweek Dry Maudie edition, traffic and travel, not much. weather forecasts, not really. But Richard Fitzwilliam's views on Star Wars The Force Awakens and the arrival in the studio of Jane Southall, the official Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, will be with us, and we'll be looking ahead to a whole heap of other good things that we look forward to in terms of Lincoln. Claire, will you be with us tomorrow morning?
I will indeed.
Yay! Jessica, will you be with us tomorrow morning?
I'll be on the train on my way home.
She will be on the train on her way back to the Isle of Man. Tessa, you haven't done a morning with us, of course, at
all.
I
haven't. No. I would love to get a chance to at some point. I'm hoping next term my timetable will allow me to.
Exactly.
Because I would love to do more.
Well, then,
I
there
love
we
the
are.
Show.
And Mary will be here.
Mary Dancy, of course.
My fellow English.
Courtesy of Strictly Come Dancing, Mary Dancy. Very good. You're asking? No, she's dancing. often wanted to use that line. Dylan, you have once again graced us with your presence for the second half of what has been a show and a half, really.
And I must say, Alex, as an experienced broadcaster, I can tell somebody who's trying to busk it up to the news. I am writing my notes.
Submit your critique.
You've been rumbled.
I mean, we've got heaps of other things that we can actually sort of put into to play. I mean, we still actually have to have the official Zebedee closing line on the whole thing. So, you know, that's got to come through. And in fact, actually, Graham, did you want the Andy Pandy closing sequence?
No, I like the Zebedee, thanks.
Where that sort of coming from?
It's a rusty spring.
It is very much so. And remember, it was indeed the father of Emma Thompson who actually came up with this whole sequence in the first place.
Yeah.
When, as we all like to say, at this time, as we approach the Christmas period...
Zebedee arrived. Time for bed, I think, he said. Already, said Florence.
I'm afraid so. thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Tara Bennett, Annette Andre, and Arthur Weingarten, and of course our White Wednesday folks, who we might hear from again tomorrow, and of course Graham Harper and Penny for joining us again, supporting us through the year, and all the listeners and so on. And thanks certainly to Kat and Nick Elliott, and Eva MacDonald, and even Emma Tinson, even though she had to go off.
She was here in spirit.
Exactly. Celebrating, ready for Star Wars, and so on and so forth. Lots of questions for Graham Harper, please. Tessa.
have you had a very good telephonic link with us this evening?
I have indeed, yep.
And will you be joining us again in the new year sometime?
Yes, when I'm asked, I'm going to be there.
There we go. Okay. And that visit to the studios with your good self as a guiding force?
That's another story which you're going to get. We'll do it, but he's not back yet.
Still stuck in America.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Can he not have a word with Mr. Obama? You know,
I think that's his problem.
It's a strategy.
I think he's in trouble at the moment.
Because normally, you know, people can leave America, they just can't get back. Obviously,
nope, he's done something paper-wise, completely... he's being reinvestigated for... I don't know about...
Please, just don't go there, not on open air. Please, CIA will be listening. There are all sorts of messy things. Our managing editor will be very frustrated. He won't do the transatlantic swim. All of these things are actually there. So that's it, folks, for Wednesdays. We'll see you in 2016, back again for tomorrow morning. But can we all say Happy Christmas?
Yeah, Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas!
Or indeed, as those legends themselves once said...
Happy Christmas, Kilgore.
Happy Christmas, Julie. So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. Just begun, and so.